Okay, today's daf is daf lamu. We're going to start at the very bottom of Kaf Tet Amabet. We're in the middle of comments of Rabbi Yochanan. I would call them Eitzot Tovot about life. Okay, all sorts of interesting things. So last time we saw about drinking water, you know, tepid water. It's not healthy. And depending on what kind of kli you drink it in, and if you boiled it, it's okay. And if you put in spices, it's okay. Okay, now we're going to see another interesting one. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we're at the two dots, four lines from the bottom. Mi shehinech la'aviv ma'ot harbe ve'rotze la'abdan, someone whose father bequeathed him a lot of money and he wants to get rid of it. Okay, now, you might laugh. So some of the Mefreshim say, what kid would want to get rid of their father's money? So it must mean the father had taken ribit in his life, interest, and he didn't want to have to deal with, you know, he didn't want to have the interest money on his hands. If you say that, you can still figure out a way to do it without having to come up with creative solutions. I would understand that my reading of it is a little more the other way, which is, this is being sarcastic and saying, in other words, if you have money, take good care of it and don't do the following things. He's just wording it in the other direction in terms of, if you want to get rid of money, but I think what it's trying to say is, anyone who doesn't really care about their money, this is a big waste of money if you were to do the following things. So, what does he view as a big waste of money? Yilbash bigdei pishtan. You should wear bigdei pishtan. We'll see in a minute. We're going to go through all these things, what exactly they are. Okay, these are linen clothing. V'yishtamesh b'klei zchuchit. He should use glass kelim, utensils.
And you saw a few lines ago that glass is very flexible.
Exactly. Glass is fragile. You can see where this is going. V'yiskor po'alim ba'al yeshevim ahem. He should hire workers and he shouldn't supervise them. Okay? We all know, right? Anyone who's ever done construction on their house would be able to verify that this is definitely true. I can definitely attest to that. Okay. Yobash b'klei pishtan. So what is this? B'kitna rumita. This is a very fancy Roman cloth that rips very easily. So it's very nice to buy this expensive material, but if it's not going to last you, it's a big waste of money.
Just donate the money.
That's what I'm saying. If it's rebate money, then it's a little complicated because you could come up with other things to do with this money. But if it's, you could just be mafkir the money if you wanted, or like Naomi says, go give it to tzedakah. That's why I think what he's basically saying is it's a criticism of his society and saying, this is what people are doing. They're wasting their money. They're basically throwing away money. And maybe he's using Yitomim as an example, you know, to kind of, the more distant you make things from people, the more they'll maybe actually listen to you. You know, if they feel like you're giving direct tochacha, musar, you know, you're not going to want to listen. He says, children who inherit their father's money and do this with their money or wasting their money, you know, maybe other people will say, oh yeah, I did that also. Maybe I shouldn't do that. So that's how I think the pshat is. Yishtamesh b'klei zchuchit b'zugita chiyurta, or chivarta. That's white glass, okay, which is very, very expensive and more fragile. V'yiskor po'alim ba'al yeshevim ahem. Truguma b'torei. These are workers of oxen. D'nefesh p'sadayhu. Different explanations. I'll give you one of them, which is that if you work with the oxen and you're not careful of your workers, the ox are very big and they'll trample your fields and they'll destroy your crops. So if the workers are working with the ox and they're not really paying attention to what they're doing, then they can destroy your fields. Okay. Shotcha litzarka avalo lechvodo. If you remember in the Mishnah, it said if you have this material, you know, a beged or a rug or something like that, you have to basically stretch it out every once in a while, right? Every 30 days. Actually, it didn't say every 30 days. Right? Masak tsut minara chalashos shabiyom. And then you can spread it out if it needs for the item itself. Right? So it said in the Mishnah, litzorka aval lo lichvodo. What does it mean, lichvodo? That means if you want to use it to make your house look pretty, right? You have this beautiful cloth, you want to spread it out, we'll see, for example, over your bed, okay? Like a bedspread. So you can't do it if you want it for your own sake, but you could do it if it needs airing out. So now they're going to ask a question. Ibai lehu litzorko ulitzorkamai. What if you combine the two? What if you say, well, I need to spread this out. I'm going to spread it out specifically when I have people coming to my house. It'll look very pretty, and this will be a perfect use of, you know, I'll kill two birds with one stone. So, is that allowed? Tashma. So now they're going to have several attempts to figure out the answer, and in the end they're not going to come to an answer, and I'll already tell you that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not allowed to. Since there's no conclusion about it, he paskins l'chumra and says, well, since we don't know if it's allowed, basically you're not allowed to, and you can only shake it out or spread it out in a case where you're doing it for the sake of the item itself, but not in a case where you can actually get benefit. But in the meantime, we're going to try a few different options. Tashma. Let's learn from here. Shotcha litzorko, litzorka. What can we infer from the Mishnah? That shotcha litzorka is mutar. So therefore, what are we going to infer? Litzorka in, ha litzorko or litzorka lo. Right? That only it's allowed if you're doing it for the sake of the item, but not if you're doing it both at the same time. But then they say, wait, that doesn't work, obviously, because Ema Seifa. We do this kind of exercise all the time. But from the Seifa, what does it say? Avalo lichvodo. Lichvodo dilo. Ha litzorka u litzorko shapridami. Right? But from the Seifa, you can infer that it's only asur to do it if you're doing it lichvodo, for your sake. But if you're doing it, lichvodo and litzorko are used interchangeably here. It's the same term. So therefore, it's implied only if you're doing it just for your own sake. But if you're doing it both for the sake of the beged and for the sake of your own sake, it should be okay. So therefore, they say, obviously, ela mehalek ela mashma mina, right? The Mishnah could go both ways. Again, this is one of those examples where the Mishnah gave two examples, but it didn't talk about an in-between case. And therefore, it could go either way. Second attempt, tashma. Lo yishtechenu lo agabe mita v'lo agabe magod. Okay, magod seems to be some sort of hanger. Okay, you can't spread it out, not on the bed or on a hanger, litzorko, for your own use. Aval yishtachen al gabei mita, val gabei magod, litzorka. But you can do it for the sake of the item itself. That's, so far, that didn't explain anything yet. That's basically like our Mishnah. But the Braita continues. Nizdamnu lo orchim, if orchim showed up, guests show up, lo yishtachenu lo al gabei mita, v'lo al gabei magod, Bein litzorko, bein litzorka. So here you see it. Here they give the example that I gave before. Let's say guests are coming to your house. Then you can't put this bedspread on. You can't use this as a bedspread on your bed because it'll look very pretty when your guests come. Whether you're doing it, right, this is interesting. Even if you're not intending to do it because the guests are coming. But just because the guests are coming according to this, right, you're not allowed to do it even for the sake of the beged. So this sounds exactly like our case. That if you're doing it litzorko, litzorka, both together, it's not allowed. But then they say, no, you misunderstood. Why can't you do it when there's guests there? Right? Even, let's say, you're doing it just for the sake of the item. Shane hatam te mikla kalela. It's as if you're burning the item by putting it there, okay? When the guests come, why? Imishum ena, imishum ganve. Two possible options. Either it's going to cause you an ayin hara, because they're going to see these beautiful things and say, oh, look, this guy has such expensive stuff, and he'll bring an ayin hara to your house, superstitious. Or mishum ganve, they'll see this gorgeous thing you have in their house, and they'll say, hey, I'm going to come back later, and I'm going to steal it. We saw that case, remember, where he had orchim, and then they stole stuff when they were in his house? So, right, maybe they'll even steal it while they're still in his house, which is usually an easy time to steal something, right? While you're already in the house anyway, you don't have to break in, so they might also steal it. Okay. It reminds me, actually, of when you have workers at your house, right? It's very common, someone does construction on their house. I have a neighbor, this happened to her, she just got robbed 3 times. I mean, wasn't always successful, but they broke in 3 times to her house soon after she moved in. And one night, robbers came, and it was at the same night, they came to another house that those same guys were working on robbing. And so it's very common because they know what's in your house, and then they know what they want to get and where it is and how to find it, etc. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. So therefore, what do we say? This has absolutely nothing to do with our case. This is just, don't put out some beautiful item to impress your guests, you know, because it's not a very smart idea. And this would be whether it's yours or whether it's someone else's, really. okay. Tashma. Now we're going to talk about Egla Arufa. If you remember what Egla Arufa is, it's where there's a city. They find a dead body in between two cities. They measure, right, and they measure which city it's the closest to. They don't know who killed the person. They say, okay, we're going to bring the people of the inhabitants of the city have to do kapara and say, Yadenu lo shafcha adam zeh, right? We weren't responsible. They take an egla and they break its neck. And that's why it's called Arufa. And then the important part for our purposes is what kind of egla can they choose? It has to be an egla. Egla bakara asher lo ubaba asher lo mashcha ba'ol. An animal that was never worked. Okay, so now we're going to darshan a little bit. What's this ubadba? Okay, so tashma. This, by the way, has nothing to do with Aveda right now. They're going to take the principle, the concept here, and apply the concept to Aveda. Okay. Hichnisa liRivka. By the way, some people claim that this whole sugya is talking about Para Aduma, which also has the same halacha, that you have to pick an animal that was never used, never worked. Okay, so we're going to go with that it's Egla Rufa. Okay. Hichnisa liRivka vedasha, kshera. If you have an animal, you have a little Egla, and it needs to nurse from its mother. And the mother is in the rivka. What's a rivka? It's when you put all the animals, you tie them together, and you attach them to the threshing tool. And then they would, you know, all of them together would pull the threshing tool. So now, what happens? This animal needs to nurse. The mother is in this rivka. So if you put the egla in the rivka so that while the mother's working, right? This is, I've seen people try to nurse while they're in the middle of doing a million things. So while the mother's working, the animal will eat. It's kshera, okay? Bishvil shetina, what does it mean it's kshera? This is not considered an animal that worked, because the animal was there not to work, it was there to nurse, okay? Even though it was in the rivka, it wasn't actually the calf, okay? But bishvil shetina v'tidosh psula, tidosh is to thresh. So if you put the animal in there to do both things at once, what does this sound like? Litzarko, litzarka. You follow the connection? If you put it in there so it does them both at the same time, your intent is that it also will ladush while it's nursing. Vem psula. V'ha'achan, isn't this like litzarko, litzarkahu? V'katane psula, and it says it's no good. So what are the answer? No, this is different. You can't compare apples and oranges. Shane hatam damakra asher lo ubaba. What is asher lo ubaba? It doesn't say asher lo avad. It says ubad. What is ubad? It happens to it. So what does that make it sound like? Right? It was worked. It sounds like mikol makom, in any kind of way that it had worked. So therefore, that's why this is a problem, but meaning it's a special limud just by egla arufa. And the Gemara says, wait a minute. If you're saying any kind of way that it was worked, well then yihach, yafilu reisha nami. The reisha also should be a problem, because in the reisha, what happened? He was attached to this rivka with the other animals. Now, while the owner had no intent of him working, the owner just wanted to allow the calf to nurse, you know, still the animal was actually physically working. It was pulling with all the others. So it should also be a problem. So halo damya ela lahaditna. Now they're going to compare this to a case where they talk about in the Mishnah in Para about Para Aduma. Ditnan shachara lehaof kshera. If you have an animal, a para that's, you know, being raised to be a Para Aduma, and an oaf comes upon it, okay, now what happens? A bird flies, lands on the para, and the para moves, carrying the bird. So what do you see? The animal carried a bird. Okay? But no, this is not considered work. Shera. Ala aleha zachar. Now they're using the word, okay, that was shachan aleha. Ala aleha zachar means if an animal mated with her. Okay? Zachar came upon her to mate, then psula. Okay? Then it's going to be pasul. So now let's explain why. Right? Now you have to remember what happens. If shachan aleha oaf, so nobody needed the bird moved from one place to the other. But there is benefit if the animal mates, well, then it's going to produce other offspring, and that's going to be in the best interest of the owner. So we're going to make a distinction here. My time, kidra papa. De amara papa, iktiv ubad, ukrinan ubad. Okay, now you have to look at the pasuk. Okay, if you have the pasuk on the side, you can see that it says, okay, vaya ira krovala halav lapuzik ne ha ir hahu ahi eglapakar. Asher lo ubad ba. Now, how is ubad written? It's written chaser. Okay? Ubad, like this. Okay? Which looks like avad. Okay? But it's pronounced ubad. Okay, so we're going to have a kriuchtiv kind of thing going on here. If it had said ubad with a vav, ukrinan ubad, and it would be read ubad like it's written, then havamina filu mimela. Then we would have assumed any kind of way, shape, or form, even if the bird flew onto the para and it carried it. V'iktiv avad, ukrinan avad, and let's say it was written chaser and read chaser as avad, then what would we assume? Havamina ad avid be'iyu, right? Until he actually works on intentionally. Hashadichtiv avad, ukrinan ubad, since it's written one way and pronounced a different way, what are we going to darshan here? Be'inan ubad jumiyada avad. You need to have it be worked similar to if it went and worked on its own. So what's going to, how are we going to come up with what's the definition of that? Ma avad denichale. When you work your animal, it's obviously in your interest. You want to work that animal, right? So that's nichale. Therefore, af ubad, if it was worked, it has to be denichale, where the owner intended that it works. So therefore, where are we coming from this? So now, that explains the distinction between shachana leha of, where it wasn't in the interest, it wasn't nicha to the owner at all, versus nursing, right, which we said the nursing, we're going to say, I'm sorry, versus the mating, which is in the interest of the owner, and therefore it's going to be considered as if it was worked. Compare it to our case, what do we have? The resha and the seifa. If it goes to nurse where it's not in the interest of the owner that the animal work, he doesn't need the animal to work, he's got all these other animals that are threshing, he's not interested in the animal threshing, so that's lo nichale. That's going to be okay. Then the egla can be used as an egla rufa. But if it's a case where he puts the animal in both liravka, I'm sorry, shetinak vitidosh, both nurse and work, then it's going to be a problem. And this is all specifically because of a drasha on the pasuk that's a unique drasha for the egla arufa. Okay, because the para aduma, the reason why some people think the sukkah has to do with para aduma, even though the psukim are egla arufa, is because the halachot are the same for both in terms of not having worked the animal. Okay, so therefore, what have we proven from this whole thing? Nothing, because this tells you nothing about litzorko or litzorka, because this has nothing to do with aveda at all. You can't apply the concept. Right? We've seen this many times where you can't take a concept and bring it to a different place if it's learned out from the Zeret HaKatzur, right? Specifically from the understanding of the words. Okay, continuing now to the Mishnah, we had all these different items, right? Klei kesef uklei nechoshet mishtaresh behen, right? So you have to use them periodically to make sure they don't get ruined. Okay, but what did we say in the Mishnah? Litzorkan aval lo lishachkan, right? For their own use, but not if it's going to be destroyed. Okay, so now, Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to see now all different types of utensils and what you have to do with them. Hamotze kli etz, okay, if you find wooden kelim, mishtamesh behem b'shvil shelo yirakvu. You have to use that, you can use them so that they don't rot. Kli nechoshet, copper, mishtamesh behem b'chamin avalo yidei ha'or. You can use them with hot water, but don't put it on the fire, mipnei shemashchikan, because it wears it away, it erodes it. Kli kesef, mishtamesh behem b'tzonein avalo b'chamin, mipnei shemashchikan. You can put kli kesef with cold, but not with hot, because it causes it to blacken. Magrefot v'kardomot, rakes and axes, mishtamesh behem b'rach, you can use them for soft items, avalo b'kasheh. Okay, you can't use them on hard things, mipnei shemafchitan, because this also makes them erode, right, from lafchit, to lessen them. Klei zahav uklei zchuchit, lo yiga behen ad shevo Eliyahu. Okay, this we saw before, right, that you can't touch these at all till Eliyahu comes. Kederach shamru ba'aveda, kach amru b'pikadon. Just like they said by aveda, all these halachot, that you basically have to take care of these items and do things to make sure they don't get ruined. In other words, number one, use them in a particular way in order to make sure they don't get ruined. You know, take them out, air them out, whatever it might be. But also, don't use them. You know, don't abuse them. Let's say use, but don't abuse. So kederach, just like they say by aveda, they say the same for a pikadon. If somebody gives you a pikadon to watch. Now this is very strange. The Gemara says, pikadon, ma'avida tegabe. What do you mean a pikadon? If someone gives me a pikadon to watch, I'm not responsible to make sure it doesn't mold. The guy should come to my house once every 30 days or once a year or whenever, which time, you know, he knows I'm watching his item for him. He should come and take care of his own item. Okay, I'm not, remember, with b'kadon, you're not supposed to touch the item at all. You're supposed to be watching it and not use it. So then they say, Amarav Adabarchama, Amarav Sheshet, b'pikadon shachu ba'lehen l'medinat hayam. We're talking about a case where the owners went abroad and they asked you to watch their item. Then you become responsible. So now they make this distinction. If the owner's not in town, then you're responsible to make sure that the item doesn't get moldy, etc. Otherwise, when you're a shomer, what are you watching for? Gneva, aveda, things like that. But you don't have to watch the item for mold, etc. Okay, other things that might happen to it. Matzah sak okupa v'chol davar she'en darko litol harez elo yitol. Now we said that if you find various items, that it's an embarrassment to be carrying this in public or something like that, right? You find a big TV on the street. So you don't have to pick up that TV. It's huge, it's heavy. Yeah, that's not, you know, it's not the kind of thing you have to pick up and try to return. So now the Gemara says, Minane Mile. Where do we learn this from? So now they're going to do this famous drasha, and Detano Rabbanan, it says in the Braita, Vihit Alamta. Okay, so let's just look at the context of that pasuk. Lo tir'eh, okay, this is Dvarim Perek Tav Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Lo tir'eh et shor achicha o seyo nidachim. Don't, if you see, right, it says don't see, but in other words, if you see your brother's shor or seh wandering, vihit alamta mehem, okay, so there's don't see this and ignore it. Hashev tishivem l'achicha. You should return it to your brother. So now, what does it say in this pasuk, right? It's like a double negative. In other words, don't see it and ignore it. But what do you see here? It says, vihit alamta mehem, which sounds almost in the positive, and you can ignore it. So the drasha is going to be, there are some times you're allowed to ignore it. Okay, that's going to be the drasha. Pamim shatamat alem, upamim shiyatamat alem. Because it says, and you can ignore, right? Even though it said, and you can't ignore, right? Don't do this and ignore. But they're going to say, we can infer from here that sometimes you're not allowed to ignore it, and sometimes you're allowed to ignore. Ha-ketzah, what would be a case? Hayat kohen b'hu b'beit ha-kvarot. Let's say you're a kohen, and you see an aveda in the cemetery. You're not allowed to go into the cemetery, so you obviously can't go in. You can ignore it.
You have to ignore it.
Right, you have to ignore it. O shahayaz zaken. Right, what you're pointing out, Aviva, is that these cases aren't 100% parallel that we're going to see, because a kohen is not allowed to. Okay, but we'll see. O shaya zakem ve'eno lefi kvodo. If you're an old person and it's not respectable for you to have to pick up this aveda, let's say even just to bend down sometimes might be difficult for you, right? Then you don't need to. Now, in that case, we're going to see that if you did start with it, then you have to continue. So it's different from the kohen b'beit ha-kvarot, who's really patur legamre. Although you can wonder, what if a kohen went into the big farot anyway? Then maybe he's chayav. You know, let's say he was over on that halacha. Let's say your job, the amount of money that you make per minute of work, okay, let's say you're working in some huge company, you're making a ton of money, and to stop to pick up this item is going to cost you more money in your salary that you're losing from that moment of picking it up. Obviously, if you're working in a big company, you're not actually getting paid by the minute, but okay. But let's say you're getting paid by the minute and you go down to pick up this item. Now, what happens? You're allowed to demand schar batala. You can say, I want you to pay me for the fact we'll see in the next mission also. We'll get into this more down the road. But you're allowed to say, okay, I worked for you for 5 minutes taking care of this aveda. Now, you have to pay me the money for this. But if the money the guy has to pay you is more than your salary, so then you don't have to do that. Okay? Now, the thing is this.
Then he doesn't have to pay him.
So there's a few things. So we'll see in the next mission that he only has to pay him. Let's say you make 100 shekel a minute. Okay? And most people make, the average wage is 5 shekel a minute. Okay? So you can only demand 5 shekels a minute from the guy. So you're going to have a huge loss on this because you're going to get paid 5 shekels for an item that was worth 10 shekels and you're taking a loss of 90 shekels, okay? So, or more really, because you're only going to get 5 shekels, right? You're taking a loss of 95 shekels. So you don't need to do that. L'chach ne'emar v'italam tamehem. Okay, that's what the v'italam tamehem teaches, these three cases. L'may itzirich kras. So now they say, wait a minute, which pasuk do you really, what do you really need the pasuk for? Which case? If you want to say for the first case, you don't need a special drasha for that because everybody knows that that's the case. Why? Hai asay, right? There's an asay to return the item. V'hai lotase v'asay. And the Kohen is an asay and a lotase. What's the asay? Kedoshim to you. And the lotase is lo yitame, right? He's not allowed to become tame. V'lo ate asay v'dache lotase v'asay. Generally, we have this concept that an asay can be doche a lotase. But you can't have an asay be doche a lotase that itself has an asay involved with it. Now, obviously, there's a question here. What's the question? Aveda is also an asay and a lotase, right? Because you have lo tuchalit aleim, right? And hashev tishivim. So, the answer I saw given was that generally, a lotase doesn't push anything off. It's only an ase can be doche something. So the first part of the equation of ase versus ase velotase, only ase is relevant. Lotase is just not relevant to this whole equation. So now, so while the ase might be able to be doche lotase, it can't be doche an ase and a lotase, and therefore you don't need a pasuk to teach you this. Vitu, and additionally, lo dachina nisur makame mamona. For the purposes of money, we don't allow Isser to be doche money. In other words, here we have an Isser, and there we have a Chiyuv Mamono, right? Why is that? So one of the Mepharshim explained that you can be always mochel on money, but you can't be mochel on Isser, and therefore you can't lo dechina Isser makame mamona. Ella, okay, so therefore the first halacha, it can't be that the pasuk is coming specifically for that, right? And that's, once they darshan the pasuk, so they can add a few more cases that you might have learned from other places. But there would be no point to teach that halacha because you know it anyway. Anyway. Ella l'shalom u'rabah mishal chaveru. What about that one? If it's not worth the money for you. Midi Rav Yehuda Marav Nafka. As if you're going to take a huge loss on this, right? So we already learned this from Rav Yehuda Marav. Where? So I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Efes kilo yebacha avyon. What is that pasuk saying, right? It can't. You shouldn't create a situation where you will have evyonim. Shalcha kodem l'shal kol adam. It's teaching you, this is a great halacha, you have to take care of yourself before you take care of other people, right? We always learn in Stekka, aniyei yircha kodmim l'aniyei yir acheret, right? But this is telling you, you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. So therefore, you can't, now this obvious, this is a little difficult because just because you're going to take a loss on this, doesn't mean, especially if you're someone who's getting paid a high salary, that you're going to go into poverty for doing this kind of thing. But I think what they're saying is you shouldn't have to take a huge loss of money for things. Because eventually, if you constantly do that and you're always thinking of others before yourself, eventually you'll end up being poor. Okay, so therefore, by process of elimination, we've said that the main reason for the drasha is for this issue of the zaken ve'ino l'fichvodo. Amar Rabba, now Rabba comes and says, hikhisha, if the zaken, let's say it's an animal, okay, and some people claim because of this case that this halacha only applies to an animal. If there's an animal and the zaken hits it, which is, you know, why do you hit an animal? To get it to move. And then he's already started the process of trying to return the animal, and therefore chayavba. He basically, you know, you could say he was mochel on his kavod, and now he's actually chayav in the mitzvah. So some people say it's because, you could look at this in a few ways. One reason is to say, well, he doesn't have to do it because it's not kavod for him, but if he already started, he's showing that his kavod doesn't matter to him. So therefore, he has to continue. Some people say, HaMatchil b'mitzvah umrim lo gemor. You've heard that line before? If you start a mitzvah, finish it. And in my house, this gets quoted a lot, right? You start a job, finish the job. So since he started it, so basically you have to continue. In other words, it's from a different reason. Not because he's chayav in the mitzvah necessarily, but more because of this concept of if once you start something, you may as well finish it up. Okay, in which case, I think the chiyuv might be slightly different according to each reason, right? Once he's mochel and he's chayav in the mitzvah, if you look at the first way, well, then he's mamash chayav in the mitzvah. If you say ha-matchil mitzvah rim lo gemor, maybe it's a little bit of a looser kind of chiyuv. Abai have a yatev kamei de rabba. So Abai was sitting before Rabba. Chazal hanach ize de kaimu. He saw these izim that were standing. Shakal kala v'shadabihu. Okay, he took a, I think it's a stick, kala? What did they say?
Clump of dirt.
Oh, right. That's what it is. He took a clump of dirt and he threw it at the animals. Amarlei, ichayevet behu, kuma hadrinhu. By throwing that, you showed, and as Rabba, who said this halacha in the first place, said, oh, Abai, if you just threw that clump of dirt at the animal and got it to move, so now you've shown that, you know, you're not makpid, and you're now chayav. Ibailu. Okay, another question. Darkol ha'chzir basadeh, ve'ein darkol ha'chzir ba'ir. There's different things. This is an interesting psychological assumption. Something might be embarrassing for you to do in the city because there's lots of people around. So to pick up something particular might be an embarrassing thing for you to walk through the streets like that. But if you're out in the fields and there's not that many people around, you might do things that you wouldn't otherwise do in the city. So let's say it's an item that if you saw it in the fields, you would pick it up. But if you saw it in the city, you wouldn't pick it up. So Mahu, what do we say? Mi amrinan hashava ma'alya bi'inan, that we say unequivocally, v'kevan delav darkei lachzir ba'ir lo lichayev, and since it's not darkei lachzir ba'ir, therefore even basadeh, you don't have to return it. Oh, Dilmore, maybe we say the exact opposite. Basadeh mi'ahuda ichayev le, it's dafka you are chayav in the sadeh, and then v'kevan di ichayev le basadeh, ichayev le ba'ir, and then since you be chayav in the sadeh, therefore we automatically make you chayav in the city. Teku. Now, I find this question a little strange because they didn't bring an in-between case. Maybe you're chayav to return in the sadeh and you're not chayav to return in the city. I'm not sure why. I couldn't figure out why that is. Like, to me, it seems like there should be a third option. In other words, either we say, across the board, it follows the city, and since you wouldn't pick it up, you're patur across the board. Or it follows the field, and you're chayav everywhere. I'm not sure why they didn't offer the option of the in-between. Anyway, question. And teku, which means, right, either... And we've talked about this before, but not for a while. Teku is short for, in Aramaic, it's short for tekom. It will stand. Okay, this problem will stand. But the rabbis explain this as tishbi yitaretz kushiyot u'bayot, right? That Eliyahu will answer our questions, which is, by the way, the reason for saying this, a lot of it comes from our perek, which has mentioned this a number of times. Okay, he's going to be the one who will give us all the answers. Okay, Amar Rava. So now we have to figure out on what basis do we define whether or not it would be embarrassing for you to pick up this item. So they say like this, well, we base it on you. If it were your item, would you pick it up or would you be embarrassed to carry it in public? So if you left something and then you go back and get it and you will take it, well then, right, if b'shalom machzir, if your own item you would be machzir, then obviously b'shal chavero nami machzir. Now we're going to say the same halacha for prika uti'ina. Right, what's that? That's when your animal is crouching under its load, right? You have to fix the load. So, kol shebishalo porek v'to'en, b'shal chavero nami porek v'to'en. And if you would do it for your own load, then you should also do it for your friend. Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, havaka'aze b'orcha. So Rabbi Yishmael, now we got a story. He was walking on the path. Pagabe'ahu gavra, there was a guy he bumped into. This guy, Havedare Patra de Ufe, he was carrying sticks of wood. Otvinu, he sat down, Bekamit Pachani, he went to rest. Amarle, he gets up, he says to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Daleli, help me pick up my load, okay? Right, Prika Te'ini, you see, is not just if the load is, you know, the animal is having trouble, but also for a friend, you're supposed to help them put their load on. Amarle, Kama Shavim, what's the worth of this sticks of wood that you're, these sticks of wood that you're carrying? So what does he say? Amarle palga dezuza, half a zuz. Yahavle palga dezuza, va'afkara. He gives him palga dezuza and says, fine, I'll take ownership over this. You take a half a zuz. He took ownership of it. And then he said, okay, well, I don't really need these sticks of wood. I'm going to be mafkir. What was he trying to do? He wanted to get out of doing the halacha. So he said, well, I'll own them, in which case you don't need them anymore. You don't need to carry them. You go to the next town and go buy them wherever you want. You know, here's the money for them. So he was mafkir. What did the guy do? Right? Instead of going to the next town with his newfound money, right, and going to buy sticks of wood, what did he do? Hadar zacha bahu. Right? The guy was obviously poor. He said, oh, you were mafkir them. You gave me half of this. I'm going to take them back. And now he takes them back. In which case, now he needs help with the tina. Okay? So what does Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi do? Hadar yavle palga dezuza ve'efkere. Right, so now again he does the same thing. He gives him another half a zuz, and he's mafkir because he doesn't need it. Chazi to have a kabay lemehadar lemizkebe. He sees though that the guy, he realizes the guy's going to do the same thing. So Amarle, so what does he say? Lekule alma afkarinu. I'm making this hefker for everybody in the whole world. Ulechat lo afkarinu, but not for you. Okay? In other words, this item is ownerless for everyone except compared to you. What does this remind you of? Hareat muter lechol adam chutzmi ploni, right? And there was a whole big discussion. Can you do that? So now the guy's going to say, what do you mean? Umiyave hefker ki agavda? Could you actually be mafkir something only partially? Is there such a thing as partial hefker? Vahatnan. Don't we see in the Mishnah, Beit Shammai Yomrim, hefker la'aniim hefker. Okay? That if you're mafkir something, this is like what Naomi said earlier in the shir, right? Why didn't he just be mafkir to aniim? Right? Give it to tzedakah. Say, I'm going to make this item hefker for the purposes of tzedakah, just for poor people, meaning only poor people can get it. Beit Shammai says that works. It's hefker. Beit Hillel Omrim, eino hefker ad shehei hefker la'aniim ulashirim kishmita. The only way you can do actual hefker to be mafkir an item is has to be ownerless to everyone, just like by Shemitah. Okay, where Shemitah is ownerless, ownerless means to everybody. So now, what do you see here? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's hefker wasn't really a good hefker then. So what do we answer? Ella Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi lekule alma afkarinu ubemilta ba'alma hu de'ukmai. It's really he was mafkir to everybody, but he said it hoping that that would deter the guy. It's how many times do we say something that's not legally accurate? You follow? It wasn't legally true. It's, this item really was mufkar to that guy. If that guy wanted to be zochebo, he could have been. But Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was banking on the fact that the guy didn't know that. And if he just says, no, you know, this isn't going to be hefker for you, he figured that would be enough so that the guy wouldn't be zoche in the item, and then he'd have to help him do the prika. Okay. The te'ina, right? Prika is to take it off, te'ina is to put it on. Okay, so now they say, wait a minute, we have a bigger question. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi zaken, ve'no lefich vado hava. He was old and it wasn't respectful for him to do this, so meaning he was patur. So what was he making a whole big deal about this? He should have just said, oh, listen, I don't need to help you. So what are we going to answer, obviously? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi lefni mishurat hadin hu David. In other words, he could have said, no, I'm not responsible, but he felt responsible, right? He went beyond the letter of the law. He didn't want to just leave this guy high and dry. So he said, I'll give you money for it so you can go to the next town and go buy it there. But once the guy, already he tried to come up with other patente. But remember, he was just trying to get himself out of the obligation. So now they're saying it wasn't really an obligation, but kind of felt like he was obligated. Lifnim Shurat Adin. Detana Rav Yosef. Now we're going to learn that not only, okay, until now we've seen a few people who done lifnim mishurat hadin. Now we're going to see that there's actual halacha. It's actually funny. There's a drasha anyway that teaches you that you're supposed to go lifnim mishurat hadin. Okay? You're supposed to go beyond the letter of the law. So now we're going to see Detani Rav Yosef. He brought a braita. Behodata. Okay, here you have to look at the whole pasuk. Shmo Yudchet. We've seen this before, by the way. Shmo Yudchet pasukaf. V'yizharta ethem et hachukim et hatorot. Behodata lehem et haderech yolchuba. So there's a whole bunch of things. There's the chukim, the torot, there's vodat alam, it's a derech that they'll go, and the maaseh asher yasun. So now we're going to darshan all this. Hodat alahem ze beit chayehem. Okay, this means, I actually forgot what beit chayehem, how they translate it. Rashi says, all right, lamod lahem omanut lehit parnespo. Okay, they have to teach them a trade. Et haderech zog milut chasadim. You have to do chasadim. Asher yochu ze bikor cholim, right? To go and be mabaker cholim. Ba zog kvura. Okay, asher yochu ba. So ba, they say, is adding kvura, that halacha, that you have to bury people. Ve'et ha-maaseh ze hadin. Okay, you have to do judgment. Asher ya'asun. What's this? Ma'aseh asher ya'asun. That's addition to the din. What could that possibly be? Zolifni mishurat adin. Okay, now we're going to get into these a little bit more. Amar mar, yochu ze bikor cholim. So first question is, hainig milu chasadim, right? What is milu chasadim? Isn't bikor cholim a category within, isn't bikor cholim a category within milu chasadim? So they say, lo nitzracha ela leben gilo. Da amar mar, ben gilo notel lechamish ashim b'chol yo, vafilu hachi mibayle lemez al gabe. It's an interesting halacha. The assumption is Ben Gilo. Now, we saw this Ben Gilo the other day. There's two explanations of Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo either means someone your age range, which seems like the pshat. Some people say it means someone who was born on the same day as you or within the same constellation as you, within the same month. Okay, not just you're around your age range, but mamash with the same constellation. And there's this assumption of somehow some connection between you because you were born in the same constellation. And they say that they specifically had to teach you Bichur Cholim to teach you that even if it's to visit someone who's Ben Gilo, however you translate Ben Gilo, there's something we know about Ben Gilo, that if you go visit a friend who's sick and you're Ben Gilo, again, whether it means the same constellation or whether it means the same age range, you take a part of their sickness, okay? That 1/60th of their sickness goes to you, okay? Where else do you see this 1/60th when it comes to sickness? The opposite, they say if you're Mevaker Cholim, you take away 1/60th of their sickness, like you help heal them. But here it's saying you get it yourself. It's almost like contagious, right? You could think of it in the lines of, okay. So, but despite that, they needed to teach you, in other words, even though you might end up getting a little bit sick from it, you're still chayav. And that's why it said it specifically. Bazo kfura, same question. Hainigvilu chasadim. So they say, lo nitzracha ela lezakem ve'no lechvich fodo. Okay, in other words, they're saying, when it comes to kfura, even if you're zakein and it's not kavod for you to bury someone, if there's a need to bury someone, you're chayav to bury them, okay? Like a meit mitzvah, I assume they're talking about a meit mitzvah here. If there's nobody else to deal with it, you have to deal with it. Asher yasun. Same for Kohen, yes. But that they don't learn from here, right?
No, I'm saying we've seen that.
Right, we've seen that with a Kohen also, with a meit mitzvah. Asher yasun, but there would be even... There you need a stronger limud to say it. That's why I'm not even sure if this even applies for a meit mitzvah. Because a Kohen would only be for a meit mitzvah. This zakein ve'no lefich vodo, maybe you could say, in general, he should be involved in fura, even if there are others. I'm not sure. Okay. Zolif nimishurat adin. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here's an interesting one. Lo charva Yerushalayim ela al shadanu ba'din Torah. So, what does he say? The reason Jerusalem was destroyed was because people judged it by Torah judgment. Okay, so, right. Ela... What else should they have done? Dina de Megista Ladino? Okay, what is Megista? Different explanation. Some people say arbitrary. In other words, Torah versus arbitrary. Or some people say Torah versus Gentile law. Okay? So, as the Gemara is saying, what do you mean? Hal Shadanu Badin Torah. It sounds like a good thing, Shadanu Badin Torah, not a bad thing. So, Ela Ema, what must it be? Shemidu Dinehem al Din Torah, but lo avdu Lifni Mishurat Adin. Okay? So now we're seeing this Lifni Mishurat Adin even stronger. That the destruction was caused because people were so to the letter of the law, and they didn't go beyond the letter of the law. And realize that there's times where you have to bypass the law, right? It's interesting for the Gemara to be saying it, right? The Gemara is so specific as to what your chiyuv is and everything else, but in this whole parak, it's really stressing over and over again that there's times where you have to go beyond the letter of the law. Okay, next Mishnah. Ezo hi aveda. What does this question mean? We'll see in the Gemara, they question a little bit, but they understand it differently, the Havamina. But let's explain it the way it really means, which is, how do you define, we saw the other day, how do you know if something is actually lost? Remember, you're only required to take it if it's actually lost, right? In other words, number one, you can keep it if it has no siman. And number two, but only if it's lost. And number two, if it does have a siman and you need to return it, well, you're only chayav to return it if it's actually lost, but not if the owner knows it's there and it's not actually lost. So how do you determine? So now they're going to give you a few cases. Matzah chamor o para ro'im baderech, ein zo aveda. A donkey or a cow, you know, wandering in the pasture without its shepherd, or owner, we assume that's not an aveda because that's typical. They wander away from their owner and eventually they come back and their owner knows exactly where they are. Chamor v'kelav hafuchim. You see a chamor who was carrying a load and everything's on the ground. Or para ratza ben akramim. The para is like running wild in the vineyards. Harezo aveda. That's already an aveda. Like nobody lets their animals do that knowing that they're there. Hech zirau barcha. Hech zirau barcha. Let's say you return the animal, and then it runs away again, and then you return it, and then it runs away again. Afilu arba'av ha'chamisha pa'amim, chayav lachzira. You still need to keep returning it, shenemar, hashev tishivim. Because it says a double lashon, therefore you learn you have to do it more than once. Hayabatel misela. Here we get to the salary. If you, it was, you know, you spent a sela of your time. Lo yomar lo ten li sela. Ela noten lo scharo kepoel. Okay, you can't say, that's like a high wage. You can't say, give me a sela. You can only say, give me like a poel, like a basic poel. Like minimum wage, let's say. Im yesham beitin, matne bifne beitin. Let's say he's unwilling, and he says, I'm only willing to get my salary. So he has to make a condition in front of the courts to say that. Im ein sham beitin, bifne mi yatne, shelo kodem. If there's no beitin, right, then what is he, I forget how we translate this. Im ein sham beitin, right, if that's the case, in other words, there is no one, so then shalokodem, his just like we saw before, he gets to choose what he wants to do. If he decides, I don't want to return the Saveda, he can do that because it's not worth my money. Okay, he's allowed to say that. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with the question, which is, if you look at this Ezohi Aveda question, it seems like a question that you would have expected to be at the beginning of the parak, right? What is an Aveda? And so what the Gemara is going to say, Atu kolhani damrina lav Aveda have? Until now we've been talking about lost items. What? Now all of a sudden you're asking, what is an Aveda? Everything we discussed before isn't an Aveda? Like, what do you mean? Right? This happens a lot where later on in the parak or later on in the Masechet, they get to the basic question. Okay, like we'll see a Makot. It starts out with a unique, like an exceptional case, and then eventually it says, okay, so what is Edim Zomimim? Where like you expected that would come in the beginning, like this. But then in the end they're going to say that's not what the question was. The question isn't what is an Aveda and what is an Aveda. The question is, how do you determine if something was lost? Okay, the way we explained it.